So, as we know, we just finished celebrating the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And when we introduce the Yom Tov of Chanukah, we all are confronted with the question of the Beis Yosef, and that is, why do we celebrate for eight days? We should really only have a celebration for 7 days. After all, the Nes Chanukah only really lasted 7 days. The first day wasn't a miracle at all. And the question is, why do we have an eight-day celebration? Much less known is the question of the Minchas Chinuch, and that is in the opposite direction. Why is it that we only celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? We should really celebrate it for 9 days. After all, we have Sveika de Yoma. We have a concept that we refer to by all other Yomim Tovim. And that is the reason why we have to observe both Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So we should say the same applies here on Chanukah. And every night of Chanukah, we should be lighting 2 candles just in case. Maybe tonight is 1, maybe tonight is 2, maybe tonight is 2, maybe it's 3. And therefore, we should add on another day of Chanukah because, after all, perhaps we are making a mistake and we don't know exactly when Chanukah is supposed to be. So in order to fully appreciate that question and the whole sugya, the story begins as follows. We have a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Beis, where the Gemara tells us exactly how the development of Kiddush HaChodesh took place. So the Gemara says, Barishona, originally they used to have Edim that came into the Beis Din and they would say that they saw the Chodesh. And then they would go around and they would challenge the Edom to make sure that the testimony was really honest and truthful. And finally, when they determined that really it was Rosh Chodesh, then they would have the Masiyin Masuos, the Gemara says, they would have people standing on top of the mountains and they would hold big candles, big torches. And then when the next town saw that the torch was lit on the top of the mountain, they would do the same. And that was the way they spread the word to all the communities that now today is going to be Rosh Chodesh based on the Edus that was accepted in the Beis Din HaGadol. That's the process that they used to do. However, says the Gemara, Misha Kilkulu Haminim, once things started to get complicated because there was a group of Jews who were trying to mess up the system, so they would just go on a random evening and hang up these big pillars of fire, and then it would confuse everybody. They didn't know exactly when it was supposed to be Rosh Chodesh, when it wasn't. So the Gemara says, Misha Kilkulu Haminim, they decided we have to come up with a new system. What was the new system? Says the Gemara, they made a takana that they're going to have shluchim yotzim. They're going to have messengers that are going to go out to the communities and actually inform personally all the people of that community that today is Rosh Chodesh. No longer are we going to rely on the candles. Now we're going to have messengers that will go out and send the message. Now says the Gemara, who qualifies to be a messenger? Who's good enough to be the shliach bezdin to inform another community? Says the Gemara, we have a right to assume that anybody can be the messenger. Anybody who comes along and says, I was in Yerushalayim and I heard that they are Mekadesh the Chodesh, and therefore I'm coming to you and I'm telling you that today is Rosh Chodesh, we have a right to believe them. How do you just believe anybody? You're not a Shliach Bezdin, you're not a well-recognized personality. Ask the Gemara, why should we believe anyone that comes along and says today is Rosh Chodesh? Answers the Gemara, we have a klal, and that is, Milsa da Avida Legluye lo Meshakri Inshi. When there's something, a piece of information that I share, and I know that I can be caught in a lie very easily, somebody can come and disprove and discredit what I said, so the Gemara assumes that in such a case, lo meshakri inshi, I would never lie if I know that somebody can come 5 minutes later and tell everybody that what I said wasn't true. My father says in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, this is one of the very shvera Gemaras, because we all know today, we have many people who have no problem at all getting up on national TV, saying all kinds of things and promising all kinds of things, and they know that it's just a matter of time until somebody comes and proves them otherwise. But they have no problem doing it anyway. But the Gemara's assumption is, I guess Yisrael Kadoshim, we assume that a Jew would never say a lie if they know that somebody's going to come later on and very easily disprove them. And therefore, says the Gemara, because we work on that assumption, therefore we have a right to assume that anybody who comes along and informs us that today is Rosh Chodesh, we have a right to believe them and to accept it as today being Rosh Chodesh. Now, these messengers were not sent out every month. The Gemara says that they only used to send out the messengers when it was an important month that people should know that today is Rosh Chodesh. We assume on a regular month, it's not really so important everybody knows it's Rosh Chodesh. So you say Yalav Yavo, you don't say Yalav Yavo, not such a big deal if you make a mistake. However, when is it going to be a major consequence? If you don't know when Rosh Chodesh is, then you don't know when Pesach is. You're going to end up eating chametz on Pesach. So there were certain months that were very important. Says the Mishnah, Al Shisha Chadashim, on 6 months of the year, Hashluchim Yotzim. The Shluchim used to go out 6 times a year, once before Pesach, once before different Yomim Tovim. They used to make sure to go out. And says the Mishnah, they would go out on Chodesh Kislev to inform everybody when Chanukah would take place. That was a very important time that everybody had to know when to perform the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. Now, the Pnei Yeshua asks a very obvious question, and that is, the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Mem Aleph, that once it gets to Rubo Shel HaChodesh, once it gets to halfway through the month, no longer do you have to have a suffix whether or not the month had started. Because if you just look up at the sky, any person who has a half a understanding of nature will know that from the fact that the moon is full, it means obviously that today is the 15th day of the month. And therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, if that's true, why do we have to send Shluchim out for the month of Kislev? After all, can't people just look up on the 15th day of Kislev? They'll understand that today is halfway through the month. And then by the time Chaf Hei Kislev comes around, everybody will know very well that today is the first day of Chanukah. That's the question of the Pnei Yeshua. However, he comes to the conclusion that yes, it's true. Most reasonable people will be able to determine when it is halfway through the month, but we always have to be concerned for those people that might not be so intelligent, that don't know how to figure out exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, and therefore he says, in honor of the minority, we have to make sure to send out the shluchim even for Chodesh Kislev, in order that everybody should know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is going to be.
There
could be other factors, and therefore he writes, this is what we do. We always send out the shluchim to make sure that everybody's going to be aware exactly when Chanukah is supposed to be celebrated. Now, once we had the fixed calendar, so then we no longer were Mekadesh al-Pi HaRi'iyah, then we no longer have to have shluchim going out to inform everybody about when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, and now we started a new system, and that is, we have what we refer to as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. The Gemara tells us, we have 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz, and 1 day of Yom Tov that is observed in Eretz Yisrael. There's a major machlokes harishonim, exactly what does it mean, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, and how do we determine who's supposed to perform that and who is not? I remember when I was in elementary school, we had some sort of brachas question, I don't remember what it was, but the question that I got out of the brachas beyond was, who instituted Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos? And one of the choices was Galuyos. So I didn't know anything. So that's the choice that I made. I thought that would make a lot of sense. But obviously, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos was not instituted by Galuyos. It was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. And it means Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. All those who are in exile, all those who are in Galus, have to observe the second day of Yom Tov. And all those who are in Eretz Yisrael have to observe only 1 day of Yom Tov. Now that we have a fixed calendar, why do we still keep 2 days of Yom Tov? Says the Gemara Maseches Beitza. Because Minog Avoseinu B'Yadeinu. We have a right to assume that the same way that this is what our ancestors did when they had Kiddush Al Pi HaRi'iyah, so too, that's what we do today. Rashi explains, because maybe Yachzer Adava L'Kukulo, maybe things are going to get messed up again, and then we're going to have to start following the old system, so we have to keep Minog Avoseinu B'Yadeinu, and therefore B'nai Chutz La'aretz keep 2 days of Yom Tov, whereas B'nai Eretz Yisrael only keep 1 day. Now the Machlokes HaRishonim is, exactly how do we determine who is considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael and who is considered a Ben Chutz La'aretz? And I'm not talking about somebody who travels and goes to the children and has an apartment here or there. That's the modern day question. But before that, there's a major question. Are all communities in Eretz Yisrael considered to be ones that have to keep only 1 day of Yom Tov? Is that how we draw the line? Do we say, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, then it means 1 day Yom Tov. If you live in Chutz La'aretz, then it means 2 days Yom Tov. Is that really how we do it? Or perhaps it's a little more nuanced. This is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ritva. The Rambam says, no, it is not dependent on the lines of border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. It's not an arbitrary thing. The Rambam says, we determine this 1 day, 2 days, based on whether or not the shluchim is to travel through your city. And therefore the Rambam says, even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, but the shluchim didn't used to travel through your town, you kept 2 days of Yom Tov. The only ones who keep 1 day of Yom Tov who live in Eretz Yisrael are those who are on the route of the Shluchim. And therefore, based on this Rambam, we don't paskin like that. The Ritva is of the opinion, which is the overwhelming opinion in the Achronim, that no, we make the line of demarcation between Eretz Yisrael proper and Chutz La'aretz. Those who are in Eretz Yisrael have to keep 1 day. Those who are in Chutz La'aretz have to keep 2 days. It's not just something that depends on each community. It's something that depends generally on whether or not you're from Eretz Yisrael or you are perhaps from Chutz La'aretz. Now, based on the fact that the Rambam says the criteria is that it depends whether or not you are along the way of where the shluchim used to travel, the Brisker Rav said that he, in his opinion, felt that we should be machmir for that opinion. And therefore, where did the Brisker Rav live? Anybody knows? In the middle of Mei Sharm. Right? He lived in the middle of Mei Sharm. So the Brisker Rav said, how do I know that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the shliach used to walk through Mei Sharm? Maybe they skipped over my community. And maybe they went to Ramot. Maybe they skipped over my town and they went somewhere else. And maybe my community in the times of the Beis HaMikdash was not in the line of fire of the Shluchim. And therefore, says the Brisker Rav, I don't really know when I'm supposed to be keeping Yom Tov. I don't really know when I'm supposed to be keeping Purim or all these different things. And therefore, the Brisker Rav said, maybe we should be Machmir. Because maybe this was not in line of where exactly the Shluchim went. Now, that's a very extreme opinion. Obviously, we don't generally follow that. But the Briskers, who try very hard to satisfy many opinions, do follow that. And that's where the Chazon Ish himself in Bnei Brak was also Machmir. On Yom Tov Sheni, in Bnei Brak, I was told that the Chazon Ish himself did not used to do Melacha on Yom Tov Sheni, because he was concerned. Who said that the Shluchim used to actually travel through my community of Bnei Brak? Maybe they skipped over us and they went somewhere else. And therefore the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that in order to satisfy the Shita of the Rambam, who says, it's not that we draw a distinction between Eretz Yisrael proper and Chutz La'aretz, whether or not you're going to keep 2 days or 1 day. It's based on where the Shluchim actually traveled. And says the Rambam, I'm not sure where they traveled. I don't know exactly what happened. The Chazon Ish said, I have to be machmer because I'm not sure exactly how things went back in those days. That's a very important and fascinating issue that one has to be aware of when we talk about the line of demarcation between Yom Tov Sheni and those who only have to keep 1 day of Yom Tov. The Chasam Sofer has also a very beautiful comment, and this is found not only in the Chidushim on Maseches Beitza, but also in the Tshuva Chasam Sofer, where he says, why do we refer to this as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos? Is this something that is only going to be applicable when we're living in Galus throughout all the years of exile, or is it something that we're going to do even after the Geula? Says the Chasam Sofer, not everybody. We have a mistaken notion. He says, not everybody's going to be living in Eretz Yisrael after we have the Geula. Unfortunately, much to our dismay, there are going to be plenty of Jews who are going to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. Not everybody's going to want to go. Not everybody's going to be able to go. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, what's going to be that those Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz after the Geula, are they still going to keep Yom Tov Sheni or not? So writes the Chasam Sofer, Lefi Anias Daiti, he says, this that we refer to this as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, he says, this is a major mistake. Ze Al Ha'avar, he says, this is only because at the time that it was instituted, there were Jews who were living in Galus, and there were Jews who were not. However, he says, in the times, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Gvuleinu B'meir B'yameinu, he says, when Hashem is going to bring us all back, and now we're going to have a Geula Shlema, he says, Yis Yasu Beiz Yamim Tovim Shel Geula Seinu. He said that it's going to be referred to as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Geula Seinu, not Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. And he says, don't make the mistake and think that once we have a Beis Hamikdash, we're no longer going to keep Yom Tov Sheni. He says, if you live in a community that is far away from Yerushalayim, you are still going to be held by the standard of Yom Tov Sheni, even after the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. We'll get back to that comment a little bit later, but it's something that is important. Either way, we have this very interesting issue of Yom Tov Sheni. And as we said, it came from a very important source, and that is the Gemara. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah told us that we should keep Yom Tov Sheni because you don't know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is supposed to be. So if this is what we do when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we keep 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. Why is it that when it comes to Chanukah, we don't observe 9 days of Chanukah, Misafik, Sveka D'Yoma, the same way we have by every other holiday throughout the calendaric year? Now, this question was first asked by the Abu Dram. Abu Dram lived in the 1300s, one of the great Rishonim, and he asked the following: Lama einosim tisha yimei Chanukah misafik? Why don't we observe 9 days of Chanukah misafik? Kamosha anu osim b'chagas sukkas tisha yamim. The same way on Sukkot we keep 9 days, and the same way on Pesach we keep an extra day. We should do the same over here. Now, the Abu Dram answers the following. He says, obviously he came before the Beis Yosef, but the Abu Dram says this is the answer to the Beis Yosef's kasha. This Yosef wants to know, why do we observe 8 days of Chanukah? We should really only have 7. The miracle was only 7 days. The answer is, we do. Really, Chanukah is only 7 days, but because of Sveka D'Yoma, we have 8 days. And therefore, says the Abu Dram, this exactly is the answer to the Beis Yosef's kasha. Now, the problem with that is twofold. Number one, the problem is that if he's correct, then it means in the days of the Chashmonaim, those who lived close to Yerushalayim really only kept 7 days of Chanukah. Is that true? Is that conceivable? Is that something that's ever documented anywhere? We don't find such a concept. And therefore, many Achronim challenge this, and they say, is that really true, that Chanukah only is considered to be an 8-day celebration outside of Yerushalayim, outside of those places that were close to the Bezen HaGadol? But in Yerushalayim proper, they actually only kept 7 days of Chanukah. Is that really true? That's question number one. And others say, this is really the reason why we refer to the last day of Chanukah as Zos Chanukah. Why do we give it such a very important title, Zos Chanukah? This is Chanukah. They say, because it's Beloshon Saginar, the same reason why on Shabbos morning we refer to Kiddush as Kiddusha Rabbah. What's so special about the Shabbos morning Kiddush? The answer is nothing at all. Shabbos morning Kiddush is really inferior. It's the lesser Kiddush. And therefore, not to make the Kiddush feel bad, we refer to it as, oh, Kiddusha Rabbah, the great Kiddush. Same over here. Because this last day of Chanukah, writes the Avodram, is something that we're not really obligated to observe. It's just midin sveika de yoma. Therefore, we refer to it as Zos Chanukah. This is really Chanukah because Belashon Saginar. It's not really Chanukah, but we want to refer to it as such as not to make this day feel bad. That's what the Avodram suggests. However, there are other Achronim who take it in the opposite direction. And they say, no. Zos Chanukah, the reason why we call the last day of Chanukah Zos Chanukah is because this really is a day of Chanukah. And don't say like the Avodram that it's just a fake day and it's an inferior quality. This is a bona fide day of Chanukah. And that's why we title it Zos Chanukah, that you shouldn't make the mistake like the Avodram said. And this is why we have an 8-day celebration. Now, these are all very nice, very cute, but what's the real answer? What's the real answer? Why don't we observe Yom Tov Sheni when it comes to, why don't we observe a 9th day, Sveika de Yoma, by Chanukah, the same way we observe it by all other Yomim Tovim? Explains them in Chaschinoch and Mitzvah Shin Aleph as follows. And he says, Acha Idna, today, da'anachnu b'kiyim b'kviyas, nowadays when we have a fixed calendar, and we don't depend on whether or not the Edim came to the Beis HaMikdash and offered the testimony about being Rosh Chodesh, rak mishum minag avaseinu. So why do we still keep 2 days of Pesach and 2 days of Shavuos? Is only because minag avaseinu. Really, we don't have to, because really we know when exactly Shavuos is supposed to be and when exactly Pesach is. However, he says, al derabanan lo chashashu kol kach. Over here, when it comes to Chanukah, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with, at best, a Yom Tov midirabanan. So you're going to tell me, a Yom Tov midirabanan, which is only rabbinic in the first place, it's not really a chiyuv midaraisa. It's a chiyuv midirabanan. You're going to tell me in such a case you have to be machmer even when you have a fixed calendar and there's no suffix at all? Writes the Minchas Chinuch, hey mamru ve hey mamru. They would never say such a thing. Now here's the chiddush. Aval kishayibana beis hamigdash mimhera biyameinu. Writes the Minchas Chinuch, when we're going to have a beis hamigdash again, and we're going to go back v'nashuv lekadish al pi ariyah. We're going to go back to the old system, not the fixed calendar. We're going to go back to the system of having Edim come into the Beis Din and the Shluchim going out and informing everyone it's Rosh Chodesh. He says, as in those days, harechokim, da'asida Eretz Yisrael l'ispashet b'chol ha'aratzos. Then, when we're going to have the people who are going to live far away from Yerushalayim, and they're not going to be informed immediately of the fact that today is Rosh Chodesh, bevada yasu chanukah tisha yamim keinira la'aniyaz daiti. Writes the Minchas Chinuch. We're actually going to have a 9-day celebration when we have the Beis HaMikdash and we go back to the old system, which is an amazing comment of the Minchas Chinuch. I was thinking, for all of us who invested in a beautiful silver menorah that has eight sticks on it, either we believe that we're going to be living in Yerushalayim when we have the Beis HaMikdash again, we hope that we're going to be able to get front row seats, or we don't believe that there's going to be a Geula, so we won't have to worry about it. But if we're going to be stuck in Chutz La'aretz, then writes the Minchas Chinuch, you better buy yourself a new menorah, because you're going to need 9 candles to light, because there's actually going to be 9 days of Chanukah when we revert back to the old system. Now, this is a very problematic Minchas Chinuch for 2 reasons. Number one, the Achronim asked from a Mefurish Gemara Meseches Erechin. The same Gemara also appears in Meseches Tainis, where the Gemara says very famously, Yud Ches Yamim Shehayachid Gomer Behemes HaHalal. There are 18 days in the calendaric year in which we recite Halal Shalei. What are those 18 days? Says the Gemara, we have 8 days of Sukkot, we have 8 days of Chanukah, we have the first day of Pesach, we have the first day of Shavuos, and we have in Chutz La'aretz 21 days. Why 21? Because you have Yom Tov Sheni, so you have 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, and and you have the 8 days of Sukkot and the 8 days of Chanukah. So what do you see? You see that the Gemara clearly assumes that Chanukah was always 8 days, regardless of where you lived. And this Mishnah was written at a time, this Gemara, this Memor was written at a time when they were Mekadesh al-Pi Ariyah. So you see that even at a time when they were Mekadesh with the old system, they still only kept 8 days of Chanukah. So what does it mean that the Minchas Chinuch suggests that when we were Mekadesh al-Pi Ariyah, we keep 9 days because maybe not everyone's going to find out about it? How can you say such a thing? So that's a very problematic Minchas Chinuch. What I find even more problematic and even more interesting is what Rabbi Reuven Margolius points out. Rabbi Reuven Margolius was really fascinating person. He lived till 1970. He was actually a librarian. And because of that, he had access to many svarim that most people didn't have access to. Anybody here ever learn Maseches Sanhedrin? Margolius Ayam. So Margolius Ayam has the craziest things anyone's ever seen. Why? Because Rabbi Reuven Margolius, who wrote it, was a librarian, and he was able to find all these wild things before we all had ways of doing it on our own. But he did this all from memory. It was amazing. So he has one of his svarim. He quotes this Minchas Chinuch, and he writes the following issue. He says, Why is the Minchas Chinuch teaching us something here? What's going to be when Mashiach comes and we're going to go back to the old system and we're going to have Chanukah 9 days? What's he talking about? He says, Acharei shehayom yesh telegraph. He says, today we have a telegraph. Asher b'chol ha'aretz yatza kavam. Everybody has a telegraph. Everybody has a fax machine. V'im nechash l'kilkol ha'telegraph, he says, maybe you're worried that like she'ibana beis hamigdash, the Bezin's going to have to get the message out. Everybody's going to have to find out it's Rosh Chodesh, right? To Reuven Margolius, they're going to send a telegram out to everybody. Who's not going to know about it? All we have to do is press one button and everyone's going to find out. He says, maybe you're worried that someone's fax machine is not going to work and one city's going to be left out. He says, what do you mean? Kvar himtziu ha-radio. Now we have a radio that's even better than the telegraph. So is it possible that one community is not going to have? And if this is what he's writing in the 1950s, imagine today, all you need is Twitter. Right? All you need is one person to write it on Twitter. By the way, we were just Mekadesh Lechodesh in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and that's the end of that. Now this gets us to a major issue, which I think is a fascinating point. We don't have enough time to develop it in full, but it's a very important issue, and that is, when Liyasid Lavo, when we're going to have many of the traditional halachas as we know them, are they perhaps going to change based on modern technology? And this is a very important question that was discussed by many achronim over the years in their own different ways. How is it relevant lahalacha? It's relevant lahalacha in a number of different places. Let's say, most primarily, it's important because we have a mitzvah in the Torah which depends on how far a person is. For example, Pesach Sheni. So, who is entitled to bring a karban on Pesach Sheni? So, it's either somebody who is an anus, somebody who, for whatever reason, was not able to make it on Yom Tov, on Pesach Rishon, or somebody who was b'derech rechoka. Now, what does it mean that you were b'derech rechoka? You were too far away from Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach. What is considered too far? So the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us that derech rechoka is a person who is tes vav mil, a person who is 15 mil away from Yerushalayim on the onset of Erev Pesach. If you're more than 15 mil away on Erev Pesach in the morning, it means there's no way you can get there because a normal person can't walk that quickly to Yerushalayim. And therefore we assume you're exempt from Pesach Rishon, and you have the makeup day Pesach Sheni. Raisa Teferis Yisrael HaMishnayis. When we talk about this din of Derech Rechoka, and a person who's qualified for bringing a Pesach Sheni, he says, maybe that was only the times of the Beis HaMikdash when people used to walk by foot. However, he says, L'shenizke lasas Pesach Amir Tashem, when we're going to have the Pesach Sheni again, Bizmanenu shehimtziu tachbula lahaloch b'mehiris, now that we have trains, which are able to bring us somewhere much faster, Ayidei Shvidei Barzel, Eisenbahn, I don't even know what the word means in Yiddish, but it's obviously a reference to a train. He says, when we have trains today, and now we can get from point A to point B in much shorter of a time, he says, maybe we have to reevaluate what the Gemara says, which is amazing. So you have a Gemara, which tells you, the cutoff for a person to qualify for Yom Tov Sheni by Pesach Sheni is if you're tes vav mil away. Well, that's because the Gemara was working on the understanding, on the assumption, that there's no way that I can get from point A to point B in one day if I'm walking by foot. But today, where nobody would ever walk that by foot, maybe we should say only if you're much further away. And in essence, how many places are there in the world that you can be on the morning of Erev Pesach that you wouldn't be able to get to Yerushalayim in time? So even if you're in England, you can take a 5-hour flight to Eretz Yisrael and get there in time. Maybe we would say, you don't have the right to make a Pesach Sheni because we don't consider you any longer to be B'derech Rechoka. This is a major issue. And writes it to Pharisee Yisrael, it's going to redefine how we figure out who is entitled to bring a Pesach Sheni and who perhaps is not. So it makes a major nafkamina lahalacha with regard to a dinda araisa of Pesach Sheni. A dinda rabbanon where it makes a nafkamina is with regard to Hilchos Avelos. Hilchos Avelos, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, based on a Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chafalef, the following halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says, normally you have, back in the times of the Gemara, you had a whole family live together in one town, in one house, one community. When somebody died, we were all aware of it. What about when you have somebody, a member of the family, who lives somewhere else? And now, there's no mode of communication, there's no way of them finding out what happened. Now, all of a sudden, they happen to come for a visit to this town, and they see the whole family, Rahman al-Sun, the whole family is sitting Shiva. And they realize, they also have to sit Shiva. So do I have to start my own count of Shiva, or can I just join in together with them and be considered a part of the family, even if it means I only have 2 days of Shiva left because they're up to day number 5, Maybe it means that since I'm a part of the family, I can join in with them. That's the question the Gemara has, and this is a major issue lahalacha. So the Gemara says there are a number of factors involved as to whether or not you're able to be considered a part of the family when you show up out of nowhere. Says the Gemara, one of the most important criteria that one has to meet is if there's a gadol habayis, if the leader of the family is there, sitting shiva together with the rest of the family, and you happen to show up, so now we assume the gadol habayis takes you under his wing, or her wing, whoever's the most important person of the family, we assume you are now going to become a tufel to them. You now become a part of their family, and it means you can have a truncated shiva. Wherever they're up to is where you're up to. Provided, says the Shulchan Aruch, that you were b'makom karov. Provided that you weren't miles and miles away from them at the time that they were sitting shiva. You happen to be in the next town over. Now you happen to come for a visit. You happen to see everyone sitting shiva. So then you can be mitzarif with them. However, what if a person is b'makom rachok, says the Gemara? What if a person is far away? So then we assume, even if you show up out of nowhere, you took a flight, then we assume you're not really going to be considered a part of the family because you were too far away from them. So the Acharonim have the following suffix. The Maram Shik, who was the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer in the 1800s, has this issue. Maybe that's in the times of the Gemara we would say, Makam Karov, Makam Rachok, whether or not you can be considered a part of the family with regard to Avelus if you're not too far away. That's in the times of the Gemara, but today, what do you mean? How can you say that if I live in Australia, or if I live in England, and I find out that there's a shiva going on here, I take a flight, I get there the next day, how can you say that I'm considered a Makam Rachok? Maybe we should reevaluate, maybe we should reconsider whether or not the guidelines have changed with regard to who can be considered a part of the family with regard to the laws of Avelus. Once again, we have a major discussion in the Achronim. Should we change the halacha based on the technological advances that we are blessed to have today? Or perhaps we should say everything is set in stone the way it is and the way it was, and that's the way it's going to remain. Now the Aruch HaShulchan himself writes, he weighs in on this issue that the Maram Shik raises, and the Aruch HaShulchan comes to the conclusion, of course we're going to change it. He says, nowadays that we have a way to drive by car, or to go by train, or to fly by a plane, of course we're going to reevaluate who's considered rachok and who's considered karov, and who can join into the family for the shiva, and who perhaps cannot. And this is also the psak of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and many others, but this is a very important issue to be aware of, because, again, as we mentioned, this has many far-reaching consequences with regard to other halachas as well. Let's just close with one final thought, and that is the Shmir Shabbos Kechasa writes that we have many takanas that the Gemara Baba Kama tells us were instituted by Ezra HaSofer. So says the Gemara, one of those takanas was that Ezra said, everybody has to make sure to wash their laundry on Thursday. Why? Because we want to make sure that on Erev Shabbos you're going to have enough time to prepare for Shabbos. If you're going to be busy doing laundry all day long, you're not going to be able to cook the food for Shabbos, you're not going to be prepared the way you should be. That's a takana of Ezra HaSofer, right? So Shemir Shabbos Gechasa. So today, where it doesn't take us all day long to do the laundry. It used to be the woman had to go down to the river, or whoever did the laundry used to go and have to scrub it. Then you had to sit there and wait all day long for it to dry, and you had to watch it, make sure no one threw it down off the line, didn't get dirty, then you had to do it again. It wasn't so simple to do the laundry. However, writes the Shemir Shabbos Gechasa, today, when we all have washing machines, all you have to do is just throw it in and take it out, switch it over to the dryer. So would you really say that Ezra HaSofer's takana still applies? Everybody has a takana that they have to do the laundry on Thursday? Today doesn't take away from my preparation for Shabbos if I'm going to go ahead and do the laundry on Friday. It's the same. And therefore he writes, this is something that comes up in many different areas. Will we assume that the halachas are going to change based on the technology of the times that we're blessed to have today? And again, that is what Reuven Margolius questioned against the assumption of the Minchas Chinuch. How can you tell me that when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and we're going to have the system back in place the way it was, of having Kiddush al-Pi Ari'iyah, and we're going to have Shluchim going out and sending the message, how can you tell me we're still going to have Yom Tov Sheni? All we need to do is have the Bez and our Gadol send out a tweet to the world. Everybody's going to find out within seconds that they're Mekadosh L'Chodesh, and that's going to be the end of it. Why will we have 2 days of Yom Tov once we have a Bez and our Gadol again? After all, we're not going to use the old system of one shliach standing on top of a mountain holding a candle or going to travel by foot to the next town. We have much better ways, much more efficient ways of people finding out about the halacha or about what took place in Yerushalayim. And therefore he argues maybe we should say that the whole institution of Yom Tov Sheni is something that perhaps will not exist any longer, even for someone who's living outside of Yerushalayim at the times of the Beis HaMikdash.